Shagar, we were asked about Nugent Hopkins' contract and if he goes to free agency or not. If you had asked me a month ago, I'd have said he probably does. After some conversations I had in the last 48 hours, I think Nugent Hopkins is going to sign. Might even sign soon. What do you think?
Well, I haven't had the same conversations that you've had to lead me to believe that's a possibility. But certainly you know people and are very connected. So if that's the sense you get, then right on. Not the sense I get at this moment. But, you know, I guess we'll have to wait and see. I think the Larson contract is the most likely one to get done right away. Unless there is a significant shift in things on the Nugent Hopkins front, my sense is it wouldn't be that fast. But you never know. A lot can change. The season ends and a few phone calls are made and, you know, things can change substantially. And next thing you know, something's done. But as of this moment, my sense is not that anything is imminent with Nugent Hopkins.
What do you think is the number? Because I've said all along it's going to start with a 5. What do you think it starts with?
Well, I think it depends on how many years that they go. I think that if it starts with a 5, I think it's going to have a point and then a 7 or an 8 there next. I don't think it's going to be like 5.5 or less. You know, I believe that there is most likely a $6 million offer out there for Ryan Nugent Hopkins when the market opens up. And it doesn't matter what I think. The question is, what do they think? And the question is, what does Ryan want? And so, you know, I believe they'd be heading to market thinking there'd be $6 million on the table somewhere. But what do they think? I'm not sure what they think. So, you know, for him to stay in Edmonton and be with this group and have a chance at you know, going on some runs with this group, you know, would Ren to retire as an Oiler, would that be meaningful to Nugent Hopkins? Absolutely. How does it contract? I'm not sure. We will see. But I think if it's going to get done in the 5s, it's going to get done in the high 5s, is my belief. But I think the sweet spot probably where neither side is super stoked, I think probably lands right in and around 6.
Ryan Shaw from TSN joins us. Shogar, Tampa Bay comes down today and announces that they're, like, the fact that in some of their premium seating sections, you weren't allowed to wear the jersey of an opposing
crazy
team. And this became a story because an 11-year-old Florida Panther fan was wearing a Panthers jersey in this section and was asked to take it off the jersey. And now, of course, Tampa decides, oh, wow, this is archaic. Like, I remember when this got put in place and I thought it was a joke. And, you know, like, hey, it's a private business. You could do whatever you want. There's, you know, legally, and people know, hey, if you don't want to sit. And it wasn't like it was the whole stadium. It was only select sections, which in itself is even funnier. But
Did they change it today? What did they say?
Yeah, they came out and said they're changing. That policy is no longer going to happen.
Well, good for them, because that was absolutely stupid. Like, ridiculous. Silly. Like, why would you not want your building people cheering for both sides, and then you creates a great atmosphere in the building. It creates, I mean, it's fantastic in Edmonton when people show up with the other team's sweater on and get up and cheer loud when the other team scores. It creates a wonderful environment in the rink, in the stands. It's awesome. I just don't understand why an organization would think it needs to protect its fans from, you know, the heathens wearing the other sweater. Like, come on. Ridiculous. So good for them for changing it. I'm stunned it lasted this long.
Yeah, I know. It's rather comical. But now they will take on the Carolina Hurricanes. And I don't know if you watched any of that game last night, Shogar, but Nashville's up 3-2. And Trennan, who, of course, had scored 2 goals, has actually played well. He's literally, I want to say, 3 feet from center ice. He's clearly tired. He doesn't get to center. He dumps it down the ice. It's icing. Now that's their fourth line. They have to stay on the ice. Rod Brind'Amour wisely throws his top line over the boards. They have a set faceoff. They win the draw. Both defensemen, Slavin goes down the left side. Dougie Hamilton's the right defenseman. He goes around, goes to the net, wide open, boom, game tied. They win it. Like, it's amazing to me that a player can't have the on-ice awareness just to get to center ice. And it shows you that the rule that, A, you can't can't change on an icing, and B, you can't call a timeout, it works.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's a lot of leeway that the linesmen give, more than I like in the NHL, for getting to the red line on the dump-ins. They give a lot of courtesy to certain defensemen as to whether or not they actually get to the line or not. Now, he clearly didn't get to the line, so I'm not suggesting they should have called it either way. But what's built into these players is a little bit of laziness that can cut it pretty close and often get away with it. And so I would rather that, linesmen just call it a little tighter on those red line dump-ins. But tough play, tough moment. And, you know, I've always believed that face-offs were important. Always. And there are so many people who say that their value is overrated and that it's not an indication of winning. And. Face-offs aren't important until they bloody are. Ask Jujhar Khaira. Ask, you know, whoever took the draw last night. Face-offs and having the right person to put on the ice that's good at them in the right moment is absolutely critical, in my mind.
Oh, 100%. But here's the thing. A good face-off guy is still only winning like 55% of his draws. So that you could be good on face-offs and still lose a key one.
Oh, for sure you can. But if you're more likely, I mean, in big moments and different guys, you know, different percentages in the offensive zone, and you got guys who, there are just guys out there who are good at face-offs in big moments, and they're known for being that way. So while their percentage might be 53, 54%, there's certain situations you throw them out and you just, it just seems like you know. And so having one of those guys at your disposal is absolutely crucial. Now, I mean, it was an icing call. It's not like they could change, but I just, there's always this, all this debate about face-offs and whether it's important or not. And it's like, it's not important until all of a sudden it was just really important. So why not have specialists and people who are great at it?
Yeah, you can look for guys who are good at it for sure.
By the way, I heard you talking about the Canes thing. You thought that was perfectly above board, eh? Their tweet.
Yeah, I have no issue with it. Yeah. It has nothing to do with what it had nothing to do with what happened on the ice. Nothing.
If I were running an organization, there's zero chance I'd let my social media team do stuff like that. That's just bad karma, man. That is bad karma. And those players get out there and battle, chirp all you want during the series, have your fun. When you've beaten a team down and ended their season, and then you fire a shot at them after the fact, I just think that's bad karma. So I'm not going to say that it's like, oh, terrible, and you know, not going to try and cancel anybody. It's just, if I were a player in that room, and I would just be like, yeah, let's not be those guys that do that. We lined up and shook all their hands out of respect. And then our organization took a crap on them. Not okay. That's my opinion.
But what did they crap on? They said that Creed played it inner.
They kicked them when they were down. You know they kicked them when they were down.
They made fun of them and all the banners they hang in Nashville.
Yes.
That's what they made fun of.
They kicked them when they were down. You know what? They could have done that at any point during the series. Where I didn't pay that close attention, but did they fire any hard shots like that during the series? Anything that would have been bulletin board material for them?
But think that is bulletin board material?
Nah, it's notable, right? You wouldn't do that in the middle of a series. As an organization, you wouldn't fire a hard shot like that at a team right in the middle of a series, right? Because absolutely it could be viewed as that. For sure it could. Their organization and the people that run their social media, and that gets okayed by the organization? For sure. But you don't see it in series because they know that's what it could be. So instead, you're going to say it after the fact and kick them when they're down. I don't like it. I just think it's bad karma. And if I were the leaders on that team, I'd be like, can we not do that? Like we battled hard with those guys and we shook their hands and said good series and lots of respect was exchanged. And then our organization craps on them like that, kicks them when they're down. Maybe let's not do that. That's bad karma. And, buddy, I got a sense of humor. I'm all for good jokes. I'm all for ha-ha, funny, funny, funny. But I do believe in karma, and I do believe in respect. And I just feel like, that's the day after. Their season's over. They're crushed. They're devastated. They've battled hard, and you give your people the green light to do that. I just didn't like that.
No, well, we'll agree to disagree. I just like if we're going to worry about a if we're going to worry about a social media post, are the NHL players even on social media about it?
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about it. It doesn't bother me. I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not offended. I'm saying if I were them, I wouldn't have done it.
But they've done that all. But that's what they do. Like their organization to suddenly not do what their organization's done all year long on social media, to me would be you're not that's who you are. Hey, we like to have fun. Nothing's insulting. Nothing's derogatory. We look for a little humor. They do that all year long. It's the reason why Carolina has voted the best social media team.
How's that not insulting? You don't think it's insulting for the Predators the next day to be picking themselves up off the floor with their season over and the team that just beat them fires a shot at them like that? By the way, the one thing I don't know is I don't know how Nashville's social media team, like maybe they deserved it. Maybe they fired some shots. Maybe this is revenge. Maybe Nashville has acted in a way where they completely deserved it. I don't know the answer to that, and I think I probably need to know the answer to that to judge them this way, but I didn't like that for Carolina. You know what? The guys are done battling hard. They shook hands. Let there be honor among, you know, the combatants and leave it at that.
Yeah, but the thing was, none of their stuff had anything to do with what happened on the ice, though, right?
Well,
it was about, well, why?
Well, but it had to do with the organization. They made fun of the organization that they eliminated the night before. They made fun of them. They took a shot at them while they were down, and they made fun of them. And if I were somebody that was part of that other organization, I would be like, eh, did we need to be doing that? Like, we just went through a handshake line and showed great respect for one another for a hard-fought series, and we respect them, and it's a poor representation of all of us.
Yeah, but you got to, just so you know, Shocker, like, their two social media teams were, like, chirping each other the whole way in fun, right? And then Nashville blocked them at the end, which to me is another fun joke.
It was Photoshop. It was Photoshop. So that was another chirp from Carolina to Nashville. And then Nashville, because you saw Nashville came back and was like, nice Photoshop job, guys. So I don't know the way the whole series went on social media. So I'm kind of, and I'm not meaning to sound like a, you know, an 85-year-old old man sitting on his porch yelling at the, you know, get off my grass. But I just think when a series is over and it's hard fought and the battle is over and the guys are shaking hands, it's just that's the time for respect. And I just wouldn't like the karma that would bring to my group by being part of that. So I would be like, nope, we're not going to be those guys.
Huh.
But that's me. I am an old
Well, they're a bunch of jerks, though. They'd live up to it. They're a bunch of jerks. I love
it. Yeah, give everyone stuff to talk about. So.
Lastly, we have Game 7 tonight. Who are you taking?
Well, who did you go with? I mean, I always like to know which way you went.
Well, I'd stick with the team I picked at the start of the series, Vegas. But I kind of want Minnesota to win, actually.
I know, hey, like just the disruptors, because that would be the disruptor, the disruption. I just think Vegas is too good. And I watched them all, most of their games last year in the bubble. They just know what they're doing. They'll know how to come out and play the game the right way tonight. But it would definitely be a very different look in the second round without them there. But I don't know if I can go against them.
Shocker, have a good weekend.
Okay, pal, you too.